Aren't you thankful that Jesus can be found when we seek him? As his word says, seek me and you will find me. It's a promise. It's not a guess. It's not a maybe. And oftentimes when we feel like, God, where are you? It's not a reflection of him, but a reflection of us opening our eyes and asking the Holy Spirit to do that work within us. I've been so thankful to be here this last week and to be able to just be in this time together, drawing near to the Lord, and he's worked in some amazing ways and ways that I know I needed, but it is always hard to go home, and I'm heading back tomorrow, and you feel like, oh, I just wish I could be here a little bit longer and get a little bit more. But we heard this morning Pastor John talk from Ephesians chapter 6 and putting on the full armor of God. We talked about how there's a battle before us, and we have to go back into the battle. And some of us may have been battling while we sat in these chairs, maybe something that you've been working through as you've been here. But the battle is there, and the battle's before us. But as we heard this morning, the victory in that battle has already been won. And so as we go back to wherever we're going back to, we can think, well, I'm going back into the difficult situation at home. I'm going back to the difficult situation or with school or with friends or a difficult situation at my job. Whatever it may be, whatever your circumstance is, you can look back and maybe dread it a little bit. But the reality is that Jesus wants to come and redeem those places, redeem those hard things that you're walking through and bring power and victory into those things. So we talked a little bit about, and just want to share for a moment, that idea and carry on to what my dad was speaking about this morning, about this battle that we are in. And it's important to understand, and he talked a lot about our position in that battle, that though we have an enemy, that enemy has no power over us. And though we have to be aware, because we could get caught up in those schemes and fall into the traps and fall into the sin and the deceptions, we have the victory in Jesus. We talked about that this morning. And that's the important thing, is to understand first, before you enter into the battle, who it is that you are. We have to know, who are we as Christ's people? Who are we, as we've been talking about the past few days, as the church? So if you would turn quickly with me to Matthew chapter 16, I want to read just a few verses and just illuminate something that I believe God is working in all of us as some of us leave and go back into the battle. And for those of you who carry on here, I was talking with Brother Peter at lunch and asking him what the theme for the boys are going to be for the third period, of which he is the head counselor. And he mentioned that they are going to be working through the theme of taking ground. The idea of taking ground, and that just struck a chord within me and resonated in some things that we'd walked through the past few years at our church. Here in Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, Jesus is with his disciples, and it says, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. I just want to share a little bit of the cultural context of this passage and hopefully encourage our hearts to walk out of this place with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the victory that's been won in Jesus Christ, and that we can continue moving forward and taking ground wherever it is that we're going to be at. So in this passage, Jesus brings his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, and he's asking this question, who do you say that I am? But there's so much that's packed into this question that's wrapped up in the context of where he is. So he brings them to this specific region for a specific purpose, because here in Caesarea Philippi, it's known that Jesus would have brought them to this place that was known as Bashan. And this was a place that was situated in Mount Hermon, and there was a lot that was taking place here on this mountain. And so for people in this time, in this culture, Bashan was what they would call the entryway to the underworld, or better known as the gates of Hades. And so the disciples would have been brought to this place by Jesus, and they would have known, hey, this is a place that has a pretty bad reputation. This is a pretty dark area. On top of that, this same exact place had a Jewish cultural understanding to be the place where in Genesis chapter 6, according to the Jewish tradition, those divine sons came down from heaven and corrupted mankind through the human offspring. So in the Jewish mindset as well, this was a pretty bad place. And then on top of that, in the context they were in that moment, this would have been a center of cult worship. So there would have been idols and gods and goddesses that were worshiping and cult rituals taking place. And Pastor John talked a little bit about how terrible and heinous the things they would have been doing in those rituals. It was said here that even in this place, at that mouth, it was kind of like a cave, which they called the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, that they would sacrifice children into that place. So they're in a place right now, Jesus brings his disciples to the darkest place that they would have imagined. This was what they thought about when they thought about hell. This was the picture for them. And Jesus stands here and begins to ask them, okay, so who do you say that I am? Some say you're Elijah. Well, some say John the Baptist. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But then he asks them specifically. And then once Peter answers that, he says something very interesting. He says, on that mountain, situated in the middle of the darkness, he says, Peter, Simon, Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. So think about that. Jesus is saying, I'm going to establish my church in the middle of the most oppressive, most dark, evil, heinous place in all of creation that you can think of. When you think of this, you think of hell. And on that place, I'm going to establish my church. And so when we look at this verse, a lot of times we think, Jesus is saying here, and rightly so, he's saying the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. And so that language that's being used there gives the idea, the connotation that there's this battle that's taking place, right? A battle between the gates of hell and the church of Jesus Christ. And that is true, but there is a little bit of a different understanding when you read this verse in the Greek. And so there's a scholar by the name of Dr. Michael Heiser. He says that we often presume that the phrase, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, describes a church taking on the onslaught of evil. But the word against isn't present in the Greek. And so translating the phrase without it gives a completely different connotation. He says, the gates of hell will not withstand it. And so what Jesus is saying here is very emphatic, that he's saying in the middle of the darkest place in the world, I'm going to build my church. And my church is not just going to stand there in defense and try and ward off all of the evil that's around it. The church is not just going to shrink and hold on to everything that it knows to be true to itself. Actually, you know what the church is going to do? The church is going to go and take ground. You as my people are going to march into the darkest places and take victory. You're not going to sit back and watch and hope things get better and just kind of cringe in the corner. No, you're going to stand up strong. You're going to put on the armor of God, as we talked about this morning, and you're going to take the victory. This was Jesus's heart. And this is the reality that we're able to come to tonight. The gates of hell will not withstand his people, his church, his presence. And so tonight, wherever it is that you may be going back to, you may be excited to go back home. That's great. You may be a little not sure of what it's going to look like going into this next season of life. Maybe like the other night we talked about, you're entering or walking through a transition and things are uncertain ahead of you. But know this, you're walking in victory through Jesus. Amen. And he wants to bring victory into your marriage. He wants to bring victory into your home with your children. He wants to bring victory with your friends, at your school, in your jobs. He wants to bring victory. And the beautiful thing is, as sons and daughters, we don't have to beg for victory. We just have to take it. It is a gift of God. And so we just receive. As sons and daughters, we don't say, please, please, please. We say, thank you, Jesus, for the victory. And now we want to walk in it. Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you that the victory is ours. Yes, Lord. And, Lord, in the middle of the darkest places, Lord God, in the middle of fear and worry and evil and sin and shame, Lord God, you come and you establish yourself in the middle of all of that. And Lord, you don't just leave us battling those things, but you begin to take ground, Lord God. And you begin to redeem and restore and bring life. And so, Jesus, I pray for all of us in here tonight, Lord God, we claim the victory that is ours by the precious blood of Jesus, not because of anything that we have done, but because of your great love for us. And so, Jesus, tonight, help us receive like children. Help us open our hearts once again to know, Lord God, your goodness, your greatness, your love for each and every one of us, and that we would walk as carriers of the victory, that people would see that on us as we move forward. Father, we just ask a special blessing on those who are going to be heading out. And Lord God, that you would continue the work that you have started here at camp, Lord God. Lord, that you would awaken hearts, Lord God, to all that is in store for us moving ahead.
Jesus.
We are so thankful how great thou art, how great you are, how great you are.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
How great you are. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going
to
give opportunity in just a moment for you, if there's anyone who longs to share. Maybe you receive victory in a specific place. You want to just give God praise for that. Or maybe you just are encouraged by things that you've heard or what God has been working in your heart. We want to give you a moment to be able to share that. But I thought it'd be good for us to take a moment to pray for Pastor John, for my father, specifically, as he is getting ready to leave as well. And as many of you know and have heard his testimony over these last few weeks, it's quite a miracle that he was even able to be here speaking God's word. And I remember the other night when I came on Sunday night, that was the first time I've heard him speak since that time. And I sat there for a moment and just was giving God thanks because of the gift that I was able to receive in seeing Dad stand up here again and preach God's word. But Dad, if you would stand. And I'm going to ask if some of the men and then Mom and Sister Catherine, if you would also join as well up here. But if you would just come and we'd surround him, and I'll ask the rest of you to just extend an arm in faith. We just want to pray a continued blessing over Pastor John, over Dad, as he enters into another season of ministry and of life, and just that the Lord would bless him. So let's just pray a prayer of faith over him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother tonight, oh God, we thank you for his life and for all that you've done. And Lord, we just commit him to you tonight, Lord. So we pray that you would restore his strength, oh God. We pray that you would touch his body. And Lord, we know that you are able. Lord, you've done that at many times, at many places. And so, Father, with thanksgiving and with faith, Lord, we come before you and we lift our brother. Oh God, strengthen him, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Prepare him for the things that you have ahead of him, oh God. We pray for a hedge of protection around him and his family and his work and all of the things that he has his hands on, Father. May it prosper, oh God. May you continue to anoint him, oh God, and lead him forward. We ask this in your name, oh God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
A fresh anointing, Holy Spirit, breathe on me, for I need a empowering in my life to be used for me. Thank you.
Jesus. God is good. Praise the Lord.